you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. It's January 21st, 2013, and I have a special guest on the line with me, Stu Smith of Champaign, married to lovely Cindy. They have four children, and Stu serves with the Mass Transit, the MTD of the Champaign-Urbana area. He's going to share some of his testimony and a God-honoring story that'll remind all of us never, never, never give up on anyone. And a couple that have never given up on each other is Vern and Doris Meyer of Philo, Illinois, as today is their 62nd, yes, that's right, 6-2, their 62nd wedding anniversary. And their lovely daughters, Peggy Meyer and Jan Causey, together are dedicating this day in honor of their parents, who they dearly love. And if you know Vern, also known as Curly, who sings with the Singing Men of GNN, and Doris, you'll love them instantly. They've both faithfully modeled Christ to me and all who know them. So all day long, you're going to hear little radio spots about this couple. And so we just celebrate with the whole Meyer clan. And again, thank Peggy and Jan for dedicating this day in their honor. So I'm going to play a special song that is close to Doris's heart. She can probably detect Curly's voice, as this is the Singing Men of GNN's version of River of Judea. That was the song River of Judea, sung by the singing men of GNN, especially to honor Doris, as it's one of her favorites. And as we celebrate Vern and Doris Meyer's 62nd wedding anniversary today, we say thank you guys for modeling marriage to us all. And thank you, Peggy and Jan, their two daughters, for dedicating this day in your parents' honor. Well, as mentioned, Stu Smith has been a friend of mine for many years. He volunteered with Urbana Missions Conventions. I've seen him at various Promise Keeper events, and he's joined me with other men attending. I've known him from the community. He and Cindy and their family attends the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy. As mentioned, Stu and Cindy have four lovely children. Stu works for the Mass Transit System, the MTD, in the Champaign-Urbana area. And Stu, it was really many months ago I heard you share a little devotional thought, kind of part of your testimony and the story of your dad during a church service. And I quickly sought you out after the service and said, hey, what's your phone number? I want to call you up and maybe have you share that with our family. And busy schedules and circumstances, and now it's 6 months maybe removed from that time. But before you share some of the unique ways where God's not through with any of us, God pursues us all to really our very end of days. He's numbered our days, and he knows when we'll be drawn to him and is kind of like the hound of heaven after us. I want to know a little more about your relationship with Cindy. You've been married for many years, but tell us some of that love story, because she's a sweetie.
Yeah, she is. She has kept me straight, honestly, most of my married life. In fact, I will tell you that there's two people in my life that have meant more to me than anything else, and one is Cindy and the other is Jesus Christ. They are the reason I am the way I am today. It's just there is no other better answer for that. I don't know how to qualify it. I'm just telling you that's the way it is.
Was it love at first sight, or was it just her characteristics, her mannerisms? What drew you to Cindy years ago?
Well, it.
And it's okay to say if it was her beauty. That's okay if she took your breath away. What was it?
Well, she did. She took my breath away, and it was an interesting circumstance. I was actually stationed in the Air Force in Blytheville, Arkansas, and Cindy was attending at school at Eastern Illinois University. And my hometown is actually Charleston, and my roommate in Blytheville was dating a young lady up in one of the halls. And he asked me, Stu, do you want to go home for the weekend? I said, yeah, that'd be great, because my girlfriend and I are going to go out, and we've got another young lady that we'd like you to meet. And I said, that's fine, I can do that. So we hopped in the car, and we went home, and I went up with this friend of mine to the dorm. And I met the young lady that I was going out with, and Cindy popped her head out of another room, and I saw her.
Hmm.
And looking back, it was not one of the wisest choices that I have ever made, but I asked Cindy if she would go with me and this other young lady to the movie.
Huh.
Yeah. At the time, for me, I was in heaven. Looking back, it wasn't a good choice.
Yeah.
I should have waited, but... the fallout wasn't as severe as it could have been, I guess. I don't know how else to put that, and I'm sure whoever's listening to this is going, I'm going to get a lot of grief over this, but that's how we first met. And we continued to, I found out where she lived, or her phone number, and I stayed in contact with her. She actually came down to visit me in Arkansas once or twice, probably more than that, I forget, it's been too long. Then I received orders to England. And I went to England for 3 years. I stayed kind of in contact with her, but it kind of dropped off after the first year. Well, after I finished my assignment in England, I actually came back to Charleston. And I took the time, and I looked her up to see if she was still there. And sure enough, she was actually getting her master's degree at Eastern. And I remember knocking on her apartment door, and there she was, right there with me. She had not changed. She had not dated. She had not married. And I was very thankful for that.
Hmm.
We started dating. And about a year, year and a half later, we married.
Hmm.
There's obviously a lot more to that, but that's how we actually came together.
And where were you both at in your faith journey at this time?
I really had no faith journey. Cindy was. She was involved with Campus Crusade. She was attending church. I was not. The times that she did try to maybe the word preach, or that's a bad, although I wonder if it was preaching, or some would say it's nagging, but that wasn't the case at all. She was trying to give me the good news, and I was extremely resistant to it. I didn't want to hear it. To me, Christians, any Christian, if you called yourself a Christian, you were just too weak. I mean, if you needed a God to get you through life, then I didn't want any part of that, even though I didn't realize how weak I was.
Mm-hmm.
that went on and on. Cindy actually ended up going to a missions trip in Branson, Missouri, and her roommate, or her roommate-to-be, actually invited me to church. But she did it in such a way that it was not offensive. It did not put me on guard. And I accepted. So I got dressed in my suit, and my mom, I just remember my mom asking me, where are you going? I'm going to church. And she was just appalled because my family did not attend church, so she wasn't sure what to make of this. But I went to church. I sat next to this young lady to tell you how naive I was. When we sang the hymns, I sang the verses straight down.
Yeah.
So I wasn't exactly in sync with everybody, but I realized that in a hurry, and I just shut up and stood there. But I heard the message of the gospel from Reverend Dave Anderson, the gentleman who actually ended up marrying us. And I heard that message, and I was so intrigued by it, I went back the next Sunday.
Wow, just on your own. Looking back, you probably knew God's Spirit was working on your heart, drawing you to Himself, but you were literally sitting there thinking, these are some concepts I've maybe never heard before?
That's fact. I mean, that's not true. I heard it through Cindy, but for some unknown reason, the way he said it, it just, the window opened and the sunshine and the warmth came through and I got it.
Hmm.
And I went back the next Sunday, and I heard the same message again, and I thought to myself, you know, I want that. Mm-hmm. And I actually walked up to Pastor Anderson, and I said, you know what? I want Christ. I would like for you to lead me to Christ. And I think he was so taken back by it. He said, you know, that's no effort evangelism on his part.
Yeah, a pastor, a pastor's dream.
Yeah. So we walked into his office, and I prayed the sinner's prayer, and I was serious.
And you're about 25 at this point?
24, 25, somewhere around that area.
Okay.
Yeah. But I would tell you, when I did that, I would not consider myself a very mature Christian. Part of that, because Cindy and I didn't get married. We married, and then we found out she was pregnant with Rebecca. And we decided, or I decided, that, you know what, I can't really take care of a wife and a child on a student's income, and I re-enlisted. I ended up taking Cindy in a U-Haul cross country to Ellsworth Air Force Base, South Dakota. And I stayed there for a year and a half, and I received orders back to England. We went to Arizona for 6 months for training. We went to Arizona, which is where Robbie was born. From England, we went to Sicily. And Sicily, we made a decision to leave the Air Force, and all four of us came back to Champaign, which is where I enrolled into the University of Illinois.
And then how much after that being involved with the mass transit?
Well, I was actually attending the University of Illinois and driving a bus part-time. And then when I graduated from the University of Illinois, I made a decision, a conscious decision, because I wanted to stay in Champaign, and I didn't want to go for my master's degree to start to stay and drive a bus. And it worked out very well for me. My degree was actually a benefit to me because I was actually promoted to a staff position at the MTD. And I've been there going on, oh, my gosh, 22 years now.
And I know you mentioned early on, besides the Lord Jesus Christ, how God literally brought Cindy into your life and has been, if you will, that foundation in the church with morals, with loving God, with growing. And I've personally seen you grow and be active and use your gifts and have seen you serve in many capacities and grow and begin and learn to witness to your family and friends. And when I heard your story, learning about your dad at the end of his life, I just thought, wow, how God has continued to work through you and how he desires to work through all of us if we just make ourselves available.
Yes, that's true. My parents and I honestly never discussed anything about religion, Christ or whatever it may be. It just didn't happen. In fact, when they decided to move to Arizona, that even separated us even further. And I cannot say that I consistently pray for my parents, you know, every day, but I was lifting them up in prayer very, very often. The times I did have an opportunity to talk about Christ, they just shut down on me. They did not want to hear it. In fact, my dad just changed the subject. He didn't want to hear it. And I have to admit there was a sense of hopelessness for me when I found out that he had Alzheimer's, because I thought, boy, that window is closing, and I didn't know what to do about it. And I did, in fact, raise that with God and said, you know, God, this is in your hands now because I can't do anything about it. I mean, it's inevitable that he is going to pass, and I don't know what to do. He was, in fact, diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and he also had cancer. We found that out. And he was placed in hospice. My last trip down there, literally a week before he passed away, he was sitting in his recliner, and I was sitting in the couch, and we were watching an episode of Jeopardy. because that is his favorite show. And he started talking to me. It was an unusual conversation. And I remember stopping, watching Jeopardy, and I looked to my left, and I looked at my dad's right in the eye, and I realized, as I told people in the church, that my dad was back. I just knew it by looking at him, that this was the dad of old, and well, before he got his illness. And I took advantage of it. And I thought, you know, Father, I'm not going to have an opportunity, and I shared the gospel with him on the spot. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because he replied to me. He listened. He was very intent. He was all ears. And he looked at me and said, Stu, I want that. Can you pray that for me? And I said, well, Dad, I can't do that. That is something you've got to do. So I helped him pray to receive Christ, and he did that. Mm. And it was sincere. There was no questioning about it. He was in his right frame of mind, and he did. He asked Christ into his life and forgiveness of sins. And I tell you, that was a powerful moment in my life because I realized, as you mentioned at the beginning of your program, God doesn't give up.
Yeah.
And he created that opportunity because I could not have done it. I could not have done it. In my heart, it was hopeless. It had to come from the Father, and it did.
And why, when you shared this testimony in church, and why it resonated so much in my heart is because I know there are a lot of people, especially with this radio ministry, literally have thousands of people tuning in, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's not dozens of people that say or have maybe given up on their loved ones because of Alzheimer's or circumstances, thinking, no, they're just hostile last week or last year or for the last 20 years. They don't want to hear anything about God, and that's why we never, ever give up. And even like where you said, you know, Mark, I might not have been praying every single day or every single week, but it was still something that God put on your heart that you prayed through and you trusted in a big God, not knowing how it would work out. And then part of you, he has Alzheimer's, he has cancer, he's going to die. How are you going to work this out, God? You really didn't know, but you spent some time with him and there he was. God orchestrated it, if you will, had him clear-minded, had him receptive, and before his dying days. Because it wasn't too much after that that he went home to be with the Lord, right?
That's right. It was like a week, and I received a phone call at work from my mom. Or actually, my mom couldn't talk to me. She was broken down. It was a neighbor, and said her dad had passed. And I was on an airplane that next morning on my way to Arizona. It was tough. It was a tough week. It really was. I mean, You go from the exhilaration of realizing that, you know, your dad understands Christ and has acknowledged lordship of Christ to literally a week later, gone.
Yeah.
That was kind of a roller coaster.
Yeah. And never, never to minimize that pain and heartache and that loss. But in God's economy, you have all eternity to rejoice with him because you both, well, eventually you both will be able to be in the presence of God rejoicing and knowing that he asked the Lord Jesus into his heart. He recognized his need for a Savior, and God breathed that life into him so that he became born again, even in that last week or so of his life.
I agree with that. In fact, when the young lady, the neighbor who told me, I was actually in the car driving, and told me your dad has passed. It was, this is going to maybe sound odd, but it was satisfying to me to know that he was no longer in pain, that the fact he belonged to Christ and nothing can separate him from that.
Yeah.
So when I went home, I think my family was looking at me a little bit odd that I wasn't in tears and I wasn't frustrated or angry, despairing by any means. I was actually quite content and at peace with the knowledge that my dad, even though he's no longer in this world, I get to see him again. And we're going to have those conversations, and I really look forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that eternal hope we have, not because we've earned it or that we deserve it, but because God is good and he has a desire to spend eternity with all of us. And the way to do that is to know his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Stu, I'm so thankful for Cindy, for yourself, for your testimony, how you've built that into your children, your involvement at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy, your involvement at the Mass Transit and just those around you, and for sharing with our listeners to never give up hope because you just never know how God may open up that window of opportunity where we can speak truth, speak the message of Jesus into somebody's heart, and see him work out that transformational born-again experience. So thanks for sharing the story this morning, Stu, and we have to go already.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, time sure flies when you're having fun. Thanks for sharing your story and some of your love story about Cindy. And again, none of us should ever give up on anyone because we can always pray. And when you seek after God's heart, and his heart is that all will come to know him, you really can't go wrong. You can just entrust these loved ones to him.
Mark, thank you. Thank you for the time I get to spend with you. I thank you for the ministry that you have at WGNN.
Thanks.
You are a blessing to me and thousands of others. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Stu. Let me close with 2 Peter 3:8-9. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:8-9. Thank you, God, for Stu's story and how you don't give up on any of us. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for listening, friend. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.